This chazar is echinish b'chachetz k'shag. Remember, you heard him say the yivam v'taf tzadik tes. A brisa says it's possible that someone sometimes has to give chalitza to his mother al tzofik, or to his sister al tzofik, or to a chalitza to his own daughter al tzofik. The Gemara explains if two women, each of whom had a son, then had sons at the same time and the babies became mixed up, and then each of these women became widows and married the first son of the other woman, and both husbands died childless, the two sons who were mixed up are going to have to give chalitza to each of the women, woman of which is his mother. Next case would be if two women, each of whom had a son, then had daughters at the same time and the babies became mixed up, and these girls each married a paternal brother of the brothers, and the paternal brothers both died childless, the remaining brothers will have to give chalitza to their yavama, who may possibly be their own maternal sister. Finally, if two women who had daughters at the same time, and then the babies became mixed up, and these girls each married a paternal brother of the fathers, and the paternal brothers then died childless, the remaining brothers, which were the fathers, will have to give chalitza to the yavama, who may possibly be their own daughter. Second of Mary said in the Brayse, it's possible for children of the same parents to have the status of five different genealogical groups of Yuchsin. Why? If a Yid purchases a slave and a maidservant from a Goy, and this slave couple had two children before they were bought, these children are considered regular Goyim. Now, if one of them converts, you now have a Ger. He then makes them go to the mikveh to become slaves of a Yid, so then they have another child. That child has the status of an Eved Kanani. And he then frees the maid and they have another child. The child gets the status of a Mamzer, because it was from a father who was an Eved. And he then frees a slave and they have another child. That child's a full-fledged Yid. So now you have five statuses over here. Going backwards, you have a full-fledged Yid, you have a Mamzer, you have an Eved Kanani, you have a full Ger, and then you have someone who's a regular Goy. A Braisa says there can be a case where someone sells his father in order to allow his mother to collect a ksuba. What's the case? If a Yid bought a slave and a maidservant from a Goy, and they already had a son who was not a slave himself, and then the Yid then frees the maidservant and marries her himself and gives all of her possessions to her son, the Goy can then sell his father, who's one of the Yid's possessions, to get money to pay for his mother's ksuba when the Yid dies. Zok the Mishnah, if a woman has a son at the same time as her daughter-in-law, and the babies become mixed up, and these boys eventually married and die childless, the daughter-in-law's other sons only do chalitza and ayibam, because each widow may be their brother's widow, which is chalitza, which could be ayibam, but it may be also the widow of their father's brother. However, the other sons of their mother-in-law may do ayibam, because the widow is possibly their brother's widow, and possibly their nephew's widow, which is anyway mutter to them. Mara says, if the definite sons died childless, the sons who were mixed up would do as follows. If the son of the mother-in-law died, the mixed up sons must only do chalitza and not yibam, because the widow may be the wife of their father's brother, which is also. If the son of the daughter-in-law died, one of the mixed up sons does chalitza and the other one could do yibam, because the widow is either his yavama or his nephew's widow, which is anyway mutter to him. So Achti Gemara, if a kohen's wife and her maidservant had sons at the same time they became mixed up, both of these children may eat truma, because either he's a son of a kohen or is an eved of a kohen, but they can only receive one portion of truma for them both at the granary. Both boys may not become tamei to a mace, and both could not marry at all. Neither to a woman who's fit to marry a Jew, or to a woman who's unfit, because they may be either a kohen, a full-fledged who can't marry a puzzle, or they may be an eved. So if they grew up and each of them freed the other one, they may then marry women who are fit to marry kehanim. They may not become tamei to a mace, but if they do, they don't get malchus. They may not eat truma, but if they do, they do not have to pay for it and add a fifth. They do not receive a portion of truma at the granary. They may sell the truma that they separate from their own produce and keep the money. They do not get a portion of the kachim amigdosh. We do not give them kachim, but we do not take kachim from them, because again, they may be a kohen, or they don't know if they're the kohen or the freed slave. They are exempt from giving the matnas kahuna, the Israel, to the other kahanim, the chaz of a sheik. The animal bechor of each of them should graze until it gets a moment that they can eat it, and we place on them the chumras of kahanim and Israelim. Zok the Gemara, the Mishnah said, Mesuak Sheirim. By referring to the sons who are not mixed up as Sheirim, we're suggesting that the ones who are mixed up are possible. Why would they be possible just because they got mixed up? Papa said, the Mishnah say, mean the definite sons, not the Sheirim, the Vadai sons. The chalitza must be done before the even to make sure someone's not marrying you. Since only one of them is a kohen, it's obvious that they only get one portion at the granary. The Mara says the Mishnah means that we only receive a portion if they're there together, because then they deserve one. This follows the view of Yehuda and the Braisa, who says that they have to both be present, because we don't give truma to a slave unless his owner, the kohen, is present. Rabbi Yossi argues on this and says, then in this case, one can come and say, if I'm a kohen, give me my portion. If I'm a slave, give me the portion of my master. The reason for the difference in opinion is that in the place of Yehuda, they would consider someone to be genealogically fit, if they saw truma distributed to him at the granary. In the place of Rabbi Yossi, they would not do so. So therefore, over here, the question is, if they give it to the Eved, he may be thought as being miyuchas. So in the place of Rabbi Yehuda, we have to be afraid for that you wouldn't give him. But in the place of Rabbi Yossi, we don't have to be afraid for that they would give him. A Braisa says there are 10 people who must not give truma, we don't give truma to at the granary. a cherish, a deaf mute, a shaita, a cotton, a tumtin, an androgynous, a kneved knani, a woman, the wife of a kohen, an oral, one who is tame, and a kohen who is married to a woman he's not allowed to be married to. The first eight, we send truma to them at their homes, but for the last two on the list, we do not even do that. The cherish, shaita, and cotton may not get truma at the granary because they don't have the mental capacity to keep the truma in a state of tahara. The tumtin and androgynous are considered to be distinct categories of people and are therefore not given truma. A slave is not given, so as not to give him the status of a valid kohen. And oral and tame are considered disgusting since there are more fitting kohanim for that to give to, so they don't give it to them. Someone who is married to an unfitting wife, a kohen is not given because it's a penalty. Regarding why a woman is given at the granary, is machleik near papa and Ravun, the son of Rabbi Yeshua. One says it's a gzeira for when she gets divorced that we should not continue to give her then. The other says it's a gzeira that she should not become secluded alone with a man at the granary. Nafkamina between these reasons would be a granary nearby a city so that they would know if the woman got divorced, but it's not frequented by people, so seclusion is still an issue. Another difference would be where the granary is far away from the city, but it is frequented by people, so there is a problem of yichud, but there is a problem that they would not hear if this woman got divorced. The Gemara says the Brice seems to allow sending truma to an oral, but not to a tamei, because the oral is one who didn't get a bris after a number of his brothers had died from getting a bris. Therefore, he's considered to be an oinus. However, the tamei kohen is not considered to be such an oinus because he could have been more careful, and therefore we treat him more stringently than the oral kohen.